without the resurrection, we are of all men most miserable. That's what Paul said. Hallelujah. And that's because Jesus, notice that he began to mention eyewitness accounts. He says it was seen of Peter, it was seen of the 12, it was seen of above 500 brethren at once. And last week, when we started looking along this line, we saw something important, that the eyewitness account is as important as the scriptures. You see, there were those who hurt with him after he rose from the dead. There were those who accompanied him after he rose from the dead. So those individuals could testify that the person who died is the same person that rose from the dead. Hallelujah. And that's so important when it comes to when we're believing God for healing. Because if it's the same person, then the same healing ability, the same healing power, the same healing grace is still at work in him even when he rose from the dead. Glory to God. So Paul says, when you stand, it means you are making your stand on this particular conviction. He says, if you keep in memory what I preached, that phrase keep in memory means if you hold on to what was preached. So consistently in your mind and your consciousness is the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. If I can get that truth across to you this morning, you will understand why we can gather and expect the power of God to manifest. We are not open, it will manifest. We're looking at God's word to understand how does the power work. We're looking at God's word to understand how do we receive God the power. The word of God is a record given to us to understand and appreciate unseen realities. So the power of God present in the local assembly, in the church, is not a function of sensational feeling. It's a function of the record of scriptures that inform us of what is present every time we gather. Hallelujah. So what you call a manifestation or a demonstration is as a result of receiving what is already present. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 3. See what it says. It says, for I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, I have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that has so done this thing. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. They are making a decision about a particular member of the church. And Paul is saying, when you are gathered in the name. And because you are gathered in the name, the power is present. The power is not always manifest, but the power is always present. Why is power always present? Because we are gathered in the name. That means in the authority of Christ. That means in what Christ accomplished by his resurrection, that's what it means. So in the name of the Lord Jesus there, he's not talking about the five-letter word that makes up his name. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's speaking about the authority that is in the name. It means whatever that name accomplished is present in the church every single time they gather. Let me say it this way. The gathering of the saints is not what makes the name work. The gathering of the saints sees to the manifestation of what's already present. So when it says, when you come together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and my spirit with the power, is telling you about unseen realities that the church is fellowshipping with every single time we gather. So as we're seated this morning, there is tremendous power to heal. There is tremendous power to save. There is tremendous power to effect any miracle. For when we are gathered together in the name, again, that phrase is referring to all the authority Jesus obtained when he rose from the dead. And you notice that until Jesus rose, the church did not come into existence. So his resurrection and the emergence of the church is the same. So every time we call for a meeting like this, for instance, there are two or three things we're aiming to achieve. Number one, that will make use of the power resting in the church to administer to the needs of the saints. Number two, that the saints will be taught to be conscious and to be spiritually aware of the fact that healing is in every part of our being. Say with me, healing and health is in every part of my being. I am one with Christ. Christ is health, so I have health. Hallelujah. Now, whether we minister to the sick this morning at all doesn't change the fact that you will be blessed. You will become more conscious of the presence of God's power. He says, when you are gathered together, that's why Paul's approach to the Corinthian church was so strong. because he was speaking about persuasions and convictions. And your persuasion and conviction can either finish you or help you or edify you. It means if your persuasions are wrong because you're not exposed to the right knowledge, you won't be able to walk in the liberty that is yours. Look at Colossians 1 from verse 9. Because this is serious business, really. Colossians 1 from verse 9. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, Paul is talking about the brethren at Colossae. By Paul's admission, they had not seen his face. They got saved. It means he sent people there, and then the message got to them, and then they received the message. They got saved, but they had never seen Paul face to face. So Paul was writing to them because this was what he was praying for them after he heard of their salvation. So Paul says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with what? Of his will, in all wisdom and what? Spiritual understanding. Look at next verse. That you might, when the knowledge that you receive doesn't affect your walk, you'll be puffed up. When the knowledge that you receive does not affect your walk, you'll be puffed up. That means you're gathering sensory or head knowledge and you're not allowing it to change your conduct. It says the reason why we pray for you that you might be filled with the exact knowledge, that word is exact knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, is that we want it to translate to a faithful walk. It means there are things that belong to you that you are meant to walk in, and by that we mean express. Not occasionally, but all the time, that you are not going to express except you know. We've established the fact that, say with me, no believer needs faith. Every believer has the measure of faith. Every believer has the same measure of faith. But our faith is not effectual at the same level. So there are thoughts, there are words, there are information that you receive from God's word that actually make your faith effectual. Let me put it this way. It's as though you are receiving news and like an understanding that is helping the application of your faith. So you have faith. You don't need more faith. The faith that got you salvation got you the biggest miracle in existence. Every other thing outside of salvation is secondary. So the faith you already have, it becomes effectual as you are acknowledging, which is you are having precise information. You don't have easy knowledge about the realities of your redemption. Your knowledge is not easy. You don't have an idea. What you have is comprehensive understanding. So he says that you might walk worthy. To walk, it means to measure up or to walk in the light of what God has done. So notice the prayer is not a prayer that is prayed once. It says we're praying that you may be filled with the exact knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you might walk. It means it may show up in your walk. See what it says. Worthy of the Lord, not being what? Fruitful in every good work and what? Increasing in what? That word knowledge is experiential knowledge. It means you have experiences in line with the reality of who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. Hallelujah. You see, the plan of God is not that there will be some members of the body that will be supermen and there are some who just be at the mercy of all the others. The plan of God is that because we have the same part, the same heritage, the same ability, the same grace, we should walk the same way. So what is the purpose of teaching God's word? To educate, to instruct, to enable you put to work the virtue. What God did is place virtue in you at the new birth. What he wants is that you are able to exercise the virtue that he has placed within you by accurate knowledge. Hallelujah. So Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church. He comes, draws their attention back to a particular fact. Everything I've preached to you is hinged on one thing, the resurrection of Jesus. If Jesus rose and the eyewitness account is able to prove to us that the person who rose is the same as the person who died, what was he known for? What was the most unique thing about his ministry when he was physically upon the earth? Because if we know what he was known for majorly and how unique that particular aspect of him is, we are able to trace through the word of God that same ability, that same grace will be distinctly seen in his walk. Look at Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And let's start from verse, I'm trying to jump, but we may not be able to jump. Let's start from verse 1. Acts chapter 3 from verse 1. Are you there? Let's read. 1-2 go. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the night hour. And a certain man lame from his mother whose womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered in the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Look at that. Look on us. Now, listen carefully. Sometimes when we read scriptures like this, we're thinking in our mind, Peter and John were one of the 12, were part of the 12. Peter and John had a special anointing. That's how you will think if you're reading the Acts of Apostles. But there are some things that is said, as we read on that, you will see, it had nothing to do with an individual anointing. It had everything to do with certain facts that they knew. You can't convince me that healing is past. Why? I have been healed more than once. I have not been healed 3 times. I've been healed several times. To make it worse, I have healed many people. So I am not one of those who can come and peddle certain things to say, you know, in those days when healing was, no. In these days, somebody still got healed yesterday in the meeting I went to. So it's too late, because when you are aware of the facts, you can't be robbed of the reality of what God has for you. Hallelujah. So there was a boldness about Peter. Peter's boldness didn't come from letters. He was unlearned. John's boldness didn't come from letters. It was experiential knowledge. So look at what he said. He says, look on us. Verse 5. And he gave it unto them, expecting to receive what? Now, of course, I'm sure they must have thought he would give him money. But they sufficiently got his attention. And then they did something. They ministered what they had. Look at what he said. He said, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as what? Such as what? Such as God has, such as God will do, such as God has prompted me to give you. Do you notice Peter's language? Such as I have. Let me say something in person. So that you will not think there's a special anointing, Peter told us in 2 Peter that we have obtained like precious faith. In other words, the ability inside Peter is the ability inside every single believer. Peter now said, so do you notice Peter didn't consult John? Because they had the same thing. The only area he consulted John was that silver and gold have I not. I don't know whether he has, but me, I don't have. You understand? But there was something that such as we have, that's plural. Such as I have. He now says, I give unto you. Listen carefully. It's a language of boldness. I give simply means it is in my power to withhold it or to give it. Listen carefully. It's not talking about, I haven't prayed, I discovered that it's the will of God that today is your day. Lift up your hands and shout, today is my day. You want to lift up? You see, sometimes we read things into the scriptures that are not there. Peter is speaking with authority. He said, such as I have, I give you. Then in case the man was slow, he not only touched him, he pulled him up. Forcefully. Now, even if you were forming when you were saying it, after you have said it, you will step back. But if you reach out to the person, you must be confident about what you have. How many of you agree with that? So he says, in the name of what? Jesus Christ of what? Nazareth. Rise up. And every time in the Acts of Apostles, they said, in the name of Jesus, the secret of the miracles was not in the mention of the name. When you want to do something and you want to prove to people this is the reason why this will be done, you say what's behind it, isn't it? So, such as I have, give I thee means in the name of Jesus on their lips. It actually means in the light of what Jesus accomplished on the cross, that was so complete that he rose on the third day to prove it. Now rise up and walk. Are you with me this morning? The implication is this. If Jesus, accomplished nothing on the cross. If Jesus did not rise on the third day, that man won't walk. That's what Peter just said. I'm trying to call your attention to the fact that every single believer has this God-given right. But Peter knew about it. Peter was confident about it. Peter was an eyewitness that Jesus rose. And Jesus had been speaking to them about his resurrection. So when he rose, it was a signal to them that everything he told them before he went to the cross is now a reality. That's why, even though Paul never physically saw Jesus, Paul said after he appeared to Peter, he appeared to James, he appeared to the 12, he was seen of over above 500 brethren. Some of them are already asleep. He said, lastly, he was seen of me, but the scene of Paul is different. The scene of Paul was in a vision. The scene of Peter was live. So Paul combined the vision he had, the scriptures he was taught, with the eyewitness accounts of the apostles. Why was the eyewitness account important? Again, those men were able to prove to us they were with him for 3.5 years. They saw his ministry. So they will testify to us that the same Jesus that died is the same that rose. They were the only ones who could prove that. That's why their office was unique in that sense. The only ones, Paul was in there. Hallelujah. And it's interesting the way the Bible, the truth of the Bible, how it unfolds. Paul was the one who was in there. He was the one who had the highest revelation. When I keep hearing on social media here and there, he's Paul the only one in the Bible. He's Paul the only one. You know, some things you have permission to say, and some things you don't have permission to say. So as you study the apostles, they had a different style of writing. And there are some things they were permitted to say. And there were some things that they knew they were not permitted to say. And it's a principle in the ministry. No matter what you know, you have to have permission. That's why you don't go on so you ventilate. Some have permission that you don't have. What do? You shut up. Did you see Paul trying? Did you see John trying to say? John learned certain things from Paul, but he used his own language to communicate. But there were some things Paul said that John never said. Why? He didn't have permission. There were some things John said in the book of Revelation, Peter didn't have permission to say. Everybody walk in his own path. Say amen. Amen. That's what mystery is about. So when he said, in the name of the Lord Jesus, they said many things in that statement. You can't controvert the fact that Jesus died and rose. The Jews didn't have a problem that Jesus healed. In fact, the Jews believed in Jesus' healing ministry and they received. The problem the Jews had was believing that Jesus rose. So healing is a major part of the New Testament ministry, because since you believe that Jesus, when he was upon the earth, was healing the sick, if it's that same Jesus that rose, what will he do again? He will heal again. Hallelujah. Let's read on. Look at next verse. And he took him by the right hand and what? Lifted him up. And what? Immediately, what happened? This is one of the secrets of ministry healing to people. Many times, if you're confident in your heart and you're sure, and you give the instruction and you stretch forth to touch, you have to take the next step to help the individual's faith. You have to take the next step and help the individual's faith, because people are waiting on sensation. You are standing upon the word of God. One is more sure than the other. The sensation is not certain, but the resurrection of Jesus is forever settled. Hallelujah. So if we lay hands on you to receive, please listen. We can lay hands upon you by a particular grace or gift or anointing. That's good. But that is not the basis upon which everybody will receive. The basis that is guaranteed that everybody can and should receive is the basis of the authority of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. I minister with the tangible anointing, but I don't rest upon that. Why? That's not God's way for everybody. Everyone will come in on one platform. That platform is available to everyone. What's that platform? Jesus what? Died and what? Rose again. If you can prove that fact, you can prove that healing belongs to all. Say, healing belongs to all. I am part of all. Healing belongs to me. So he took him another lifted him, and immediately his ankle was visible. Look at next verse. And he lifting up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and what? Praising God. Next verse. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, quickly, because of our time. And he knew that this was he which sat at four arms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and there were three wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Next verse. And as Lima, which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the port that's called Solomon's Port, greatly wondering. Next verse. When Peter saw it, what did he see? That the people came together wondering what happened. He answered unto the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our what? Our own?" Or Peter is telling you, "I didn't use an anointing. I used the authority of the name. I didn't use an anointing. I used what was accomplished in the name." That's what Peter is saying. That I wasn't depending on the particular power that I possess, because I was part of the 12. He says, look at next verse. "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus." It looks as if every time Peter is preaching, he uses the opportunity to remind them, "You are murderers. You are killers. God sent his son. You killed him." He was always telling them every opportunity. So look at next verse. Verse 15. Okay, look at this verse. Look at verse 14. I want to show you something. Verse 14. See what it says in verse 14. "But you denied..." Is that verse 14? Yeah, verse 15. "And killed the Prince of Life, whom God has what? Raised from then. Whereof we are what?" That's not spiritual witness. They were physical witnesses. They were there. They saw him. They handled him. They saw him. So, look at next verse. "And his name..." Through what? Faith in his name. And what? "Made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him." Again, stop. When you're reading a verse and you look at it, faith, true faith in his name, the faith which is by him. "By him" is a phrase that refers to by that which he accomplished. Can we guarantee anyone sick in the house today will be healed? Yes. What is our guarantee? The same Jesus that died, that healed in his earth walk, is the same Jesus that's alive today. So healing is one of the ways he proves that he's the same person. The Jews never had a contention about his healing ministry. In fact, he was known for his healing ministry. Hallelujah. He was known for his healing ministry. So because he was known for his healing ministry, that's why uniquely, healing is one of the ways he proves that he is still alive. It is one of the major ways he proves that he's still alive. Look at John chapter 14. John 14 verse 12. Look at what Jesus said. John 14 verse 12. On our prayer and fasting seminar, we'll be looking at greater works. And see what the Bible says. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I want to do, shall he do also. And greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father." So if you're going to interpret that, what does greater works mean? The works that I do, at least one of those works is healing. He says you will do those same works. But he says you will do greater because I go to my Father. What does he mean by greater? We allow scripture to interpret scripture. Greater doesn't mean a superior quality. Greater simply means the manner in which the work will be done. I am localized in one place at a particular time. I can only be in one place at a time. I can only minister to a number of people at one time. But if there can be many of me on the surface of the earth, there will be greater works. How many of you agree with that? So he says, "Greater works than this shall you do because I go." And we've established the fact that Jesus is going. Is his what? He's coming. He was going to come. Hallelujah. He's going was his what? He's coming. So he said, "Because I go to the Father," look at next verse. "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name," in what name are you going to ask? The name of the one who has gone to the Father. What does it mean to go to the Father? "I will die. I will be buried. On the third day, I will rise again. I will ascend. I will sit at the Father's right hand." That is what it means to go to the Father. So to go to the Father will also mean that after I sit at the right hand, the new creation will be possible, or you'll be born again. Hallelujah. Go back to the previous verse again. I need you to get this. Because there is this fear. Listen carefully. that the average believer has about praying for the sick. Let me put it this way. You are like, you know, I've been ministering to people before. And I could feel those who look up to me, hoping that that sickness must go. Pastor must not be embarrassed. I have no reputation to protect. What is the pastor? If you lay hands on somebody and it's not what happens, I will lay hands on the next. That's all. I'll just say, next, please. Somebody says, why? Because it works. I mean, not immediately why you didn't receive, but your not receive is not the same thing as it didn't work. No, it works. I have ministered to so many people that I can even tell sometimes by revelation why it's not working, so I can tell the person where to make adjustments. But I've gone too far for you to tell me it didn't work. No, it always works. When you wake up in the morning, do you struggle to breathe? You notice that you are not hyperventilating. Your breath is just coming out by itself. How many of you exercise this morning before you could breathe out? It's natural with you. It's your state of mind. So what causes fear or doubt or anxiety? Some of us even look at our lifestyle, which is one of the reasons why a believer should live right. Say, I'm a believer. I live right. I walk in the life of God that's within me. I live right at all times. Living right, it's your faith. Living right is a great assistance to your faith. Living right frees your consciousness from guilt. Living right, therefore, is a great asset to your faith. Bible says, holding faith and a good conscience. But the guarantee of people getting healed is not you. The guarantee is who lives in you. If you can boast that he lives in you, then you should be bold enough to know that what he used to do when he used to be on the earth is what he will do now that he lives in you. Hallelujah. So when you are stretching forth your hand, remember, Jesus' hand has been stretched forth. Think about it. Jesus has been stretched forth. In other words, ministering healing isn't just for some specific ministers. Yes, we know there are people who are graced along certain lines. But ministering healing is not just from specific ministers. It's for every single member of the body of Christ. Look at verse 12 again. It says, whatsoever you shall ask, verse 12. Verily, verily, that's a double emphasis. I say unto you. So Jesus is saying, pay attention to what I'm about to say. This is one of the big truths he conveyed to them. He was preparing their minds. He says, he that believeth on me, he wasn't speaking about believing on him as he stood before them. They already believed on him in his incarnation. Jesus is God in the flesh. That's incarnation. So they already believed that it was God in the flesh. But that wasn't what he was asking them to believe. He was speaking about the fact that I am about to go on a journey that will affect certain realities for you. That only will mean that at my resurrection, whoever believes on my name, which is what my resurrection represents, what will happen? It says, the works that I do, he shall do also. Do you believe in Jesus' resurrection? Can you do his works? Hallelujah. So why are you not bold to step out? The Bible says you can't undo such things with a hazy idea. It has to be a present tense knowledge in your consciousness. It means the understanding that you have is above board. You're not hoping, therefore, that when I touch, you know, I told a particular individual some years back, I was trying to minister baptism of the Holy Ghost. I said, when I lay my hands upon you, there will be a quickening on the inside. He said, I know. He said, but I need to teach you how to respond. So I taught the person how to respond, and he got filled immediately. Now the question is this, I have no doubt about laying hands. But it's not everyone you lay hands on that responds. So you have to prepare for both those who respond and those who don't know how to respond to teach them. You cannot do that except you are sure of what you are doing. Peter said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. When we made known unto you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16. We have not followed, which is what we are standing on. We've taken a stand on this truth. What we are standing on is not a cunningly devised lie. We're not speaking of an idea. We are discussing realities that surpass the senses. So Peter is telling us his own confident assurance is the fact that we were high witnesses. So whatever was prophesied before now, we are telling you we have greater proof or more proof. The word that was spoken has been confirmed because we saw it. That's what Peter was saying. Hallelujah. That's what he was saying. The works that I do shall you do also. Greater works than this shall you do. Because I what? I go to my Father. Look at Acts chapter 10. Look at Peter's testimony, Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Acts 10 from verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth. This is Peter in the house of Cornelius. And said, of a truth. I what? I perceive that God is no. Say, God is no respecter of persons. This explains why sinners sometimes get healed faster than believers. God is no respecter of persons. What does God respect? Faith. If you walk the principle, it will work. The principle doesn't work in the hands of some and not on some others. It works in the hand of everyone who works it. So he says, I perceive. Why is Peter saying that? Peter was responding to Cornelius' testimony. What was that testimony? I saw an angel that said, to send for you. So Peter was saying that, oh, God reached out to you. It's proof, the fact that God is not a respecter of race or tribe or persons. Look at what Peter said next. But in every nation, he they have ferried him, and what? Walketh righteousness is what? Accepted with him. To walk righteousness means to believe. That's what it means. Next verse. The word, beautiful, which God did what? Sent unto the children of Israel, preaching what? Peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Next verse. That word I say you know, which was published. So, the ministry of Jesus was announced. The healing ministry of Jesus was publicized through teaching. He went around teaching. He went around publicizing. He went around proclaiming. How did men have faith in his power to heal? He preached it. He published it. The news went abroad. It was what they had that gave them faith. So though they believed in him as the healer, they didn't believe in him as the Messiah. What did they receive? What they believed. And they were healed, every one of them. So Peter said, the word which was published, he says, that word, even you should know about it. Which is, it must have come to your hearing at one time, or Cornelius. That word, you know, it was published and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Next verse. How God did what? Anointed Jesus of Nazareth. With what? The Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good and healing all. Look at the next verse. We are witnesses of all things which he did where? So Peter is telling them, you heard that message, but we are also witnesses of what happened to him afterwards. We are witnesses that he is risen now. We are witnesses of that God has raised him to be the judge of the quick and the dead. While Peter was speaking, the Holy Ghost fell on them. So Peter was proving to them from the word, and was proving to them by eyewitness account, that that same Jesus is one who rose. There are things inside the scriptures, from the authority of the epistles, you can tell why they happened that way. Why it wasn't accidental. It was deliberate. So that Jesus appeared and was eating fish. It wasn't because he was getting a barbecue. It was because this man would testify to people, we ate with him. So it wasn't the spirit we saw. It was the same man. We ate with him. Look at John chapter 20. John 20. Let me also open my Bible. John 20. And let's read from, I'm looking at for verse, okay, let's do John 21. Let's do 21. Verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself, or in this manner, in this fashion. Okay? They were together, Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of these disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, we go also with thee. They went forth and entered the ship immediately. That night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall what? Find. Notice that this kind of miracle had been done before. How many of us remember that? Luke chapter 5. Jesus had worked this kind of miracle for Peter before. What was Jesus doing? The miracle was meant to be a testimony to Peter. The minute they caught the fish, John told them, it is the Lord. How many of you understand? So in his resurrection, he did the same things he did when he was on the earth. To prove one thing, I am the same. What does resurrection now mean? What I used to do, you can now do. Hallelujah. What I used to do, you can now do. Why was he appearing? He had told them before he went to the cross, the works that I do, shall you do also. And greater works, shall you do, because I go to the Father. What does resurrection mean? He has come to the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has come to the Father. So, going to the Father signals greater works for the church. Hallelujah. Greater works for the church. So, the resurrection of Jesus by the apostles and disciples wasn't seen by just he came out of the grave. What the signal to them was, we can now do what the promise we will do. The same way he healed, we can heal. The same way he raised them, we can raise them. The same way he cast out devils, we can what? Cast out devils. That's what he meant to them. So they understood. So when Peter was saying, faith in his name has given this man this perfect wholeness, Peter was standing on facts. Let me say it again. The reason why people will be healed when you lay hands is because Jesus is risen. When he rose, where did he go to? The Father's right hand. What does it mean to be at the Father's right hand? He now lives inside of you. Hallelujah. So greater works are being done through you because he is risen and he's at the Father's right hand. The only way people will not be healed, I didn't say every time people receive, the only way people will not be healed if you can prove that Jesus never rose from the dead. Glory to God. Say, my hands, they are healing hands. God's power flows through my hands. Do you know that one of the most difficult things to get believers to do is to pray for the sick? Because half of the time they are sick themselves. And here's the interesting thing. You can be sick and the sick will still be healed when you lay hands. Did you hear what I said? You can be sick and the sick will still be what? Healed. That means that authority doesn't care how you feel. Your being sick doesn't change the fact that Jesus has made you well. How many of you agree with that? No. So because Jesus in his resurrection has made you well, and he has said this sign shall follow, the signs will still follow even though you don't feel like you're well. That's what explains why a minister can be feeling all kinds of symptoms in his body, and yet the sick will still be healed, because the resurrection of Jesus is the reason why. It's not the minister's preparation. It is the resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. It signals so many things for us. It signals our liberty. It's where our confidence comes from. Look at Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Let's quickly look at that story before we round up this morning. And if you want to receive healing this morning, just set your heart. That virtue will flow. Last week I called people out, and then I called them out a second time. Those who were managing it, don't manage sickness. Don't manage pain. You know, a woman was healed of partial paralysis of the leg. And when she was going, no, sorry, she was healed of a hearing problem. And when she was going back to her seat, the minister noticed that she was limping. So they said, but you are limping. He didn't mention that. He said, oh, that one, no. He has been there for years. It's okay. She got accustomed to the sickness. The sickness was like a pet. Do you know you can get accustomed to pain? I've seen people get healed And it took them 2 weeks before they realized that there was a particular pain that was always there, that was no longer there. When they wake up in the morning, it's always there. So they didn't realize it had gone until 2 weeks after. Which means you can get used to your experience such that you are even protecting it from God's power. Don't allow your experience to change the facts in your mind about the availability of God's power. See, God's power is always present. God's power is a demonstration of God's nature. The incarnation of Jesus, the Word becoming flesh, was to clear up all lies, all ambiguities, all traditional ideas about who God really is. That's why he always healed, to show people that their experience wasn't necessarily a reflection of who God was. In other words, before Jesus, the Word became flesh, before God became a man, people had different ideas about what God would do. Maybe he won't heal because I sinned. Maybe he won't attend to me because I didn't pray enough. Maybe I need to pray more. Jesus healed everyone that came, without exception. We have only two records of Jesus telling people, and he did it after he healed them and told them, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Only two. Are you telling me all the others didn't sin? No. Those other two, the instance or their situation was unique in the sense that they had a peculiar issue that the enemy was taking advantage of. So he told them, go and sin no more. He healed everyone. And it was God in the flesh. So Jesus' healing ministry was not a demonstration of authority. It was a display of God's character. I need you to see that. Thank you. It was a display of God's character. That means that God healing people wasn't to show power, wasn't to show off. It was to display his compassion for people. And he always heals. Say, God always heals. You know, you may be thinking in your mind that, okay, it is fibroid. It is this. It is a blood. Whatever you call it, remember that there's no situation or case that wasn't healed in the scriptures. None. And if he healed before the cross, much more does he heal after the cross. Glory to God. Mark 5:25. So tell your neighbor, don't manage sickness this morning. Let the power of God into every fiber of your being and receive wholeness in Jesus' name. You know, I have this image in my consciousness that God is excited about those who dare the power of God. I have that consciousness that God is excited about those who dare the power of God. That is it not true that I can do this? Let's try it. When I say try, I'm not talking about doubt. I'm talking about in faith. Let's use it. And people are always amazed that God surpasses it. Always. I told us the story of a boy who was born with a deformed head. The boy's head looked like when you turn a yacht upside down. You know the hull of a yacht. That's the way the boy's head looks like. And the more it grew, the more the structure collapsed until there was so much pressure on the brain. And there were witnesses there. You know, when a miracle is about to take place, people come. And this man of God laid hands on the head. And his healing technicians, they were all praying. As they prayed, the shape of the skull changed under his hands. The power that was administered was so intense that a creative work began to take place under the minister's hands until the shape of the skull became normal. Became normal. John G. Lake speaks about testimony of people submitting prayers, written requests for healing. And while he lay hands and prayed, the whole church stretched forth their hands and connected spiritually with him. He knelt in front, everyone knelt and prayed. And in the spirit, channels of power flowed from every member towards this single man. And suddenly, he saw himself out of the church in a vision. He was taken to an asylum where people that were insane were being treated. And he found himself entering the room in the spirit. And he saw this young woman, completely insane, chained down. He laid his hands upon her, cast out the spirit, cursing it. and she was free. When he opened his eyes, he was back in the church. The member of the church who brought that request came back to church a week after. That the people who attended to them and the medical doctor in charge of that case, they met her, they examined her, they just suddenly discovered she was suddenly well. Hallelujah. There is no boundary to the operations of God's power. The only limitation is what we place in our minds. Hallelujah. The only limitation. Mark 5, 25. So it says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood, 12 years, has suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all she had. She was nothing better, but rather what? Grievous. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and what? Touched his garment. This is why we preach. We preach that men can hear. Hearing means you are conscious. Being conscious means you are aware. Being aware means you recognize what can be seen with the senses. She had heard. There were multitudes following Jesus. Jesus was going to Jairus' house. Multitudes were following. This woman also came. The difference between her and those who were following Jesus was that she had heard something. And what she had made her aware of an unseen reality that the others didn't know about. Think about it. She had. That's why it looks sometimes as though in a multitude, in a crowd, only a few people get healed. That's why it looks like sometimes. Because more often than not, what you hear or what you've heard is the platform upon which you receive. And you cannot operate in faith beyond what you know. You can't. Your faith cannot be more effectual than what you have acknowledged. So she had something. And on that inside, there must have been so much light about her receiving her healing. Very obvious from her actions. So she had heard. So, and because of what she said, she now said, if I may what? Touch body's clothes, I shall be. Listen, brothers and sisters, whatever this woman had must have been strong. The strongest way Jesus exercised his ministry was by touching people. Strongest way. Look at what this woman said. I won't need to touch him. I'll just touch the clothes. It means she must have heard that even his clothes stored power. Hallelujah. Even his clothes stored power. Acts chapter 19 verse 11. The Bible says that, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. So that handkerchiefs and what? Aprons were taken from his body to the sick. Evil spirits went out of them and diseases departed from them. So the clothes of Jesus were the storehouse. Do you know the chairs we sit on in front here are storehouses of power? And I sometimes ask people to go and sit. This is the first time I'm telling you why I said that. Because over time, an accumulation has taken place. And I say, sit here. That's why I say it. So I've given you all the deal now. Why? It's an accumulation over time of God's power deposited over a period of time. That's one of the ways the power of God works. Once you do so in faith, you know, that's why some people have used faith to do some very strange things. Because they understood that with the unseen, there's a way to relate. Jesus was in the midst of a crowd. I'm going to round up now. He was walking in the midst of a crowd. The Bible says there was a multitude in that place. And the Jewish term, multitude starts from 3,000. Yeah, 3,000. So they were going with Jesus. And a woman kept saying, till she got to where Jesus was. And when she got to Jesus, where Jesus was, she now acted on what she was saying. She touched Jesus' garment. The Bible says she felt in her body immediately that she was whole. She would have gone. It's Jesus that stopped her. Our faith, recorded in scriptures, teaches us so many things about God's character. There is no special day God has desired that on the 21st of December is your day. We have opened your file. Great Bear, bring the file. It has been praying for long. 21st of December is your turn. Right now, we are ministering in Dubai. She did not ask permission. Jesus had protocol. Peter, James, and John. She didn't consult them. At the window, Jesus said, who touched me? Peter was the first to answer. touch you. Touch you. It's not your fault. Jolly, do you hear? What they are doing here, is it touch? That person, I wanted to slap him. Who stopped you? You know, no. Is this one touch? See, you see the multitude trunk in thee. You are saying, who touch? Is this one touch that I'm doing here? Did somebody touch me? He said, Jesus said, no. But somebody touched me. And he looked around and saw the woman. If Jesus had not stopped, we wouldn't have that story today. The woman told nobody. She received, she was about to go. No consultation. So she tapped from God without permission. Jesus, God in the flesh, had only one thought in his mind. Get to Jairus' house, heal the daughter, and continue with the crusade. But this woman came, interrupted. If you belong to the old school of preachers, those who support Jairus, they'll say, may nothing block you and your miracle. Oh, pray, 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 pray. Pray now. May nobody stop your miracle. But the testimony of that woman encouraged Jairus. When she finished speaking, and he came to tell Jairus, don't bother the master any further. Your daughter is now dead. Jesus said, fear not, only believe. What should you believe? Believe what just happened to the woman. And he didn't touch her. She still received. Hallelujah. That woman is proof that there's nobody that cannot receive. Just believe. Because the same Jesus who did that is the same one who rose again. What's the difference? It's now in many of us doing the same thing. What does that mean? People can touch your clothes and be healed. Hallelujah. Smigus once spoke about testimony. Said one day, he went for a crusade in India. He said, the power of God was so much that as he moved into the crowd, they didn't know he was the one. And it was good for him, they didn't know, because they would have mobbed him. He said, but something happened as he was walking towards the pulpit, because they didn't know him, he was from England. As he walked through the crowds, the circumference of the region where he walked, people around him were getting healed instantly as he was walking through. The same way that Jesus borrowed Peter's shadow, that even the shadow of Peter, hallelujah, healed the sick. Healed the sick. The same way. He's a healing God. He still heals today. He's still in the healing business. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands this morning. And let's thank him for his healing power. Let's thank him for his healing power. You know something interesting? This morning, and I speak to you by the word of the Lord this morning. What I'm about to say to you now, I speak to you now by the word of the Lord. That there are cases represented here this morning at a distance. When you go back, you hear their well. When you go back, you hear their well. And I've been made whole in the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands and bless him this morning and thank him. That's exactly where we're going to start off. That's how the Spirit of God leads us. That's where we're going to start off. So if you have anyone who is sick of any particular, thank you, Lord Jesus. You have anyone who has an affliction or the other, who is not here, that you want us to pray for, you can come forward. You stand on behalf of that person who will minister to you. I see someone now who is lying down, a female, elderly person, can't walk, can't get up, and there's a spirit behind that condition. And we're going to rebuke that condition right now. We're going to cast out that spirit. We're going to cast out that spirit. I want the pastors to join me as Miss Adishi. Now, here's what I want you to do. Now, if the example I just gave is you, as a woman, seemingly an elderly person, can't walk, can't get up. I can see the person as I'm talking right now. And there's a spirit of infirmity about that person that we're going to deal with this morning. Who is representing that person here? Okay. Who is representing someone like that in that condition? Alright, so there's a spirit behind it. Where's Martins? Has he gone out? Martins has gone. He's outside. Okay. Let's play on the keyboard. I'm just playing on the keyboard. Okay. There's someone like that. Someone like that. So, a female, elderly person. Why are there so many? Serious. There are actually so many people who have that. Hallelujah. Church, can we pray? As we told us this morning. They're standing here to represent. Now, if that is the case, can you step forward in front of every other person? Just step forward in front of them. Every other person, just move back a little bit. Just move back a little bit. We'll get back to you. Glory to God. You know, we just received the word from the Lord right now, isn't it? So we're going to act on what we just received right now. We're going to act on what we just received. Mr. Makinde, please come forward. We're going to act on what we just received. He gave us clear instructions. Okay? Hallelujah. Where are the pastors? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Church, stretch out your hands and pray in tongues. Pray in the spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Virtue flows. We stand against every work of darkness. We speak concerning that loved one. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we use you as a point of contact. We command the enemy's influence and power over the life of those ones to be broken in the name of Jesus. We command that affliction to depart from that loved one. We command that spirit to leave in the name of Jesus. We break the hold of the enemy over the person's body, the senses, the system, the organs, the lungs, the blood, the veins, the muscles, the ligaments, the tendons, the joints. We command every evil influence broken in the name of Jesus. We declare liberty upon those ones right now. We command healing and health to flow in their body right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Muscles. One by one. Just minister to them one by one. Minister to them one by one in the name of Jesus. Remember, you are using them as a point of contact. They are not the ones who are sick. They are representing those ones. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Tremendous power is available this morning. And we're going to hear news that they are well. They're made whole. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Release God's power. For someone, the next few days, give them a call and ask from them. Hallelujah. You know, we're following instructions. You just make that up. If you have any ailment, any pain of any kind, you want to pray with you, please come back. Can you just come out quickly? Thank you. Even from a distance, thank him deliberately. Like you have seen it, like you have heard about it. Thank him like you have seen it, you have heard about it. Thank him. Thank him. That you receive phone calls, things have changed. Things have changed. The works of darkness have been destroyed. Men have been set free by the power of God. Men have been set free by the power of God. Men have been set free by the power of God. Father, we give you praise. Our hearts are glad. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your message, for your goodness, for your loving kindness expressed in and through us. We give you glory. We give you praise, Father. Blessed be your name. Amen.